May we find the truths that we need, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Colossians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 6. Find both of those. We'll be in both of those passages this morning. Colossians chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 6. Good morning, John. Good. In 1882, a movement began to have a special day to honor the laborers in America. Nothing really happened, though, in 1987. And in 1987, there was an official holiday made called Labor Day, which is tomorrow, as you know. A few years later, in 1909, not only do you have Labor Day on Monday, but they also decided to have Labor Sunday. You probably didn't know that. Labor Sunday, which was set aside for the, and it was dedicated to the spiritual and educational aspects of the labor movement. I think that part has been lost, unfortunately. But I thought it was kind of ironic, because here we are in Colossians chapter 3, and we're studying the labor laws. And here it is on Labor Sunday, so that worked out really well. And we're finding out the law for the employee, which we covered most of last week. We'll finish that this morning, and then we'll spend a few minutes on the law for the employers. And those are both found in this passage. I have been amazed as we have studied these verses on relationships. Life is made up of relationships. And if you don't know how to handle relationships, your life's a mess. And so Paul comes along in this passage under inspiration and said, all right, wives, submit to your husbands. Now again, what a simple statement. What a difficult thing to do. But what an answer to conflict between husband and wives. What, husbands, he doesn't give us a list of 47 things to do. He says, husband, just love your wife. Just love her. Okay? Sacrifice what you want to meet her needs. Children, don't play Xbox, don't do this, don't watch this. No. Children, just obey your parents. You know. And then fathers, bring them up in the nurture and admonition, the discipline and the training, the teaching. And then last week we started on the employees, and you look in verse 22 of Colossians 3, and it says, servants, and what is the key term? Here it is, servants or employees. What is your duty? What is the labor law for you? One word, obey. Now, after that word, we want to put what word? But. That's exactly right, but. My situation is unique. My situation is different. By the way, that we could go through that whole thing, couldn't we? Wives, submit to your husbands, but you don't know my husband. You don't know my situation. Husbands, love your wife. But, children, obey your parents. But, bring your children. But, you notice there are no buts in this passage. Okay? It says, look, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, as long as it's spiritual, right? And when you pray, and when you read your Bible, no. And whatsoever, what does that include? Now, I know this is deep. Everything. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. And then the masters, well, we'll read that in a moment. The law of employees, what is the law? What is the duty of every employee? Listen to what your boss has to say and do it. Listen and do it. Just do what you're told. And then he's going to go and he's going to explain this, and we saw the area of obedience. How often should an employee obey their boss? When they feel like it. Now that's the case in most places today. when they agree, when their boss deserves it. Yes, ma'am. Yes, and that's the second area. But it says all things. All things. Now, there are some exceptions. We'll get to those. You say, well, my boss is an unbeliever and he's wicked. Remember we saw in 1 Peter 2:18? He said, look, obey even the what? What's that? What's the King James word there? Remember? Even if they are froward. That's a great word. What does it mean? Crooked. Yeah, that's that scoliosis. Even if they're crooked. You say, whoa, wait a minute. So if he tells me to do something wrong, well, remember, there are some exceptions here. He said, in the flesh, so just the physical things, and then as servants of Christ, which we're going to apply more here, but obeying Christ. And obviously, the only time you should not obey your boss is if he asks you to do something immoral. You know? Change the charts. You're a nurse. He says, come in. Okay, I want you to change that chart. This is different. Oh, wait a minute. You know, you're working with the books. He said, well, just change those a couple numbers right there, you know. Just add a zero. It's really not that big a deal. I mean, a zero doesn't really mean anything. Just add it right there at the end. You know. Well, obviously, if they ask you something, or lie about a product or whatever, obviously, or lie to a customer, you can't do that. But really, how often is that an issue? Well, it depends who you work for. It could be an issue a lot. But in all things, they're to obey. So we covered that last week. The areas of obedience. Secondly, we saw the attitude of obedience in Ephesians chapter 6 with fear and trembling. Now, what words did we use there? What is the responsibility? In obedience, you are to... Same thing, by the way, the child is supposed to do to the parent. Obey and also honor. Yeah, that idea of giving them the proper honor that's due to them with reverence and respect. Now, when you disagree with your boss, you may obey, but how do you respond? How do you obey? You go to your coworkers. Can you believe what that idiot said to them? I mean, if he'd get down here on the floor and work with us a while, he'd understand the system. He'd know what's going on, and he wouldn't ask you these stupid things. Is that obeying with honor? Obviously not. So there's the attitude, and then we looked at the activity. Not with eye service. That's a great word. I like that word. Because it's such an accurate picture of how most people work. You work with them, don't you? When the boss is around, man, they are going 100%. I mean, sweat is flinging everywhere. I mean, they're just going at it. I mean, you know, they're just, man, they're typing, their fingers are flying, they can't do it. But when the boss is gone, what are they doing? Oh, they're surfing the internet, they're texting their friends, they're talking on the phone, they're cutting up, they're messing around, they're sitting around. I was talking, we were cutting out some material for Hannah's class last night at her house, and she was talking about one of the girls at work and how she likes to sit in the back room and not do anything, and that's just pretty typical. My dad often said, most people quit looking for work when they get a job. And, you know, that is the truth. You know. Another guy said, you know, I'm not afraid of work. I can lay down and sleep right by. There's a lot of truth to that. So here it is. It says, not with eye service, but with singleness of heart. That word to braid together, to bring all your work into one focus. I mentioned last week a laser. After class, someone said, what about a magnifying glass? I mean, you go outside where it's sunny and that sun feels good, but you take that magnifying glass, you can burn yourself. When you take all that energy and you focus it, he said, look, not trying to please everybody, but with single focus. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord. Paul said, this one thing I do, and I left you hanging last week, what's the one focus? All right, so let's pick up there. What is the one thing that is to drive an employee in their work? What's the one thing? Well, obviously, for most people, what's the one thing at work? What's the one thing that really drives them? Make more money. That's exactly right. And secondly, probably, they want to make more money and they want to do what? Less work, more money. That's the kind of job I'm looking for, you know? A job where they pay you a lot and you don't have to do anything. That's a great job right there. Okay? Impress the boss. Now, we don't have to guess what the focus is because it is all throughout this passage. Look in verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the boss. Well, I guess he is the boss, but this is the spiritual boss. As unto the Lord and not unto man. Look at verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Back in Ephesians, you should have that marked there, Ephesians 6, 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord. Again, the typical view that most folks have is, well, I'm working for the company. I'm working for the man. I'm working for the boss. Now, if that's all you're doing, how will that affect you? Let's think about that. You help me here. How will it affect you if your only motive in your job is to please the boss? Well, what was that first word we talked about? Eye service. That can come into play, can't it? What happens if your boss doesn't give you the commendation you think you deserve? What if you're here to please the boss and the company and the raise time comes along and you don't get one? Or what happens if a position opens up and you've been there 37 years and they give it to guys been there 3 months? If you're there to please the boss and do the job, well, boy, you got problems. I mean, there's discouragement, there's despondency. The simple matter of fact is, not many, we'll do a survey. This week, those of you that work outside the home, how many of you had your boss come to you and say, man, you are doing a great job. I really appreciate all you're doing. How many? Good. 3 or 4 of you. Wonderful. Okay. How else does that happen, Rick, quite often? See, if that's what you're living for, you're in trouble. Because more than likely, it's not going to happen. Now, when those kind of things happen in your job, how are you going to respond? When you don't get the raise? When you don't get the position you want? When you have to do the work you don't want to do? What kind of employee are you going to become? Stupid boss. That's exactly right. Great word, disgruntled. That's exactly right. Griping and complaining and bitter and always criticizing and complaining. Now, the right view is, now think about this. When you go to work Tuesday, many of you are off tomorrow. Think of how this changed your attitude. Okay? Instead of I'm here to serve him or her, I am here to serve Christ. In everything I do, I'm serving Christ. Now think about how that changes things. This is amazing. Dr. Bob Sr. said, to the Christian, there is no difference between the secular and the sacred. All ground is holy ground, and every bush is a burning bush. Now, what's he trying to say? He's saying the same thing as 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And so even at work, you're not there primarily to please your boss. You're there primarily to please the Lord. Now, let's think about how that affects things. When the boss is not there and everybody's cutting up, if you're there to please Christ, what are you doing? Still working. Still giving 100%. Still getting the job done. If you're there to please Christ, folks, you're working all the time. You have a better work ethic. You have greater joy. It doesn't really matter what the boss does. It doesn't matter. I'm here to please the Lord. If I please the Lord today, I've succeeded. Whether I please them or not. One housewife put a sign over her kitchen sink She said, worship services held here 3 times a day. I thought that was pretty good. See how it changes your perspective on work, folks? I'm not just serving those people. You know, I feel sorry for my wife. You say, you do too. I understand that. I mean, she'll slave over the stove for, you know, an hour or an hour and a half. And we come in, and I come in and sit down, and we pray, and we eat, and 5 minutes later, we're done. You know, it's like, what a waste of time, you know? All that time and effort, and so I'm trying to slow down, you know? I actually try to put the fork down every once in a while, you know? It's kind of a neat thing. Yeah, that's right. I tell you. Look, folks, if in every area of our life we're saying, you know what? I'm here to please Christ. What kind of job are you going to do? You going to give 100%? Yes, you will. No matter if someone's saying, great job, you are the best employee we have. Or if the boss is there, or it doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter what the rest of the employees are doing. Because you know that no matter where you are, Christ is watching. No matter what you're doing, Christ is concerned about it. Now let me ask you a question. You go to work. And your attitude is, I'm here to please Christ. In my attitude, in my work ethic, everything I do, I'm here to please Christ. Now, when they find out that you're a Christian, will you adorn the gospel or will you hurt the gospel? Isn't it a tragic thing? Without even saying a word, we can go to work, and because of the way we work or don't work, people are turned from Christ. Well, if you're a Christian and you do that at work, then I don't want to have any part of it. Is it any wonder that often our testimony is so ineffective? Because we lay around just like the rest of people do. We cheat on our time card just like everybody else does. You know? We do a halfway job just like everybody else does. And then we try to invite them to revival and they say, what? Oh, I didn't know you were a Christian. On the opposite end of the spectrum, by the way, the Whitmans, who are members of our class, and they have to work every other Sunday, came here. They were invited by Ruth Wood. They're both nurses out at Bristol Medical Center. And she knows Tony Estep and Johnny Estep. And she said, those guys are different from the rest of the nurses over there. They're different. Is that where you work, Scott? She didn't know you, obviously. Or she did? She would have said, yes. And Scott Collier is also an outstanding young man. Now, what an influence we can have for Christ when we will say, you know what? I am here to serve Christ. In everything I do, I'm serving Christ. Now, a couple illustrations. I've got to get to the bosses here real quickly. I think of a man named Joseph. Joseph, really a teenager, probably. And you know the story. He's sold into slavery. He's taken to Egypt. He goes to work in Potiphar's house. And the boy had some character. By the way, what kind of pressure did Joseph have to do right? Was his mom standing over him? Was his priest nearby saying, Joseph? He was all by himself, folks. Had absolutely no pressure to do right except from God above. And here he is doing a great job, and Potiphar likes him so much, he turns everything in his household over to him. And then old Mrs. Potiphar comes along and tries to seduce the guy. And he does right. And he says no, and he flees, he runs. And because of that, he was exalted in Egypt, right? Well, eventually, but because he did right, what happened to him? Got thrown in jail. Wow. Now, what if Joseph had been there just to please Potiphar? Stupid Potiphar. Sitting there in prison, wicked wife. Oh, witch, can you believe what she did to me? And he's just sitting there in prison. He's griping and complaining. I mean, here you try to do right, and oh, people, they don't treat you right, you know, and they don't, I didn't get the raise I should have gotten in this position. I'm here, I'm sitting in jail. And is that what happened when he got to jail? What was he doing in jail? Well, I don't know, but I do know this. Pretty soon he was running the place. And I tend to think that he had the right attitude about the whole thing and said, hey, I did right. God's on the throne. I please the Lord. And pretty soon, he's run the prison. And then, of course, you know about all the dreams and everything. And because he has the right attitude, he's pleasing Christ, he ends up running the kingdom. What an amazing thing. I think of another young man named Daniel. Daniel, too, was far from home. And here he is and has a great work ethic. Isn't it an amazing thing? All of his co-workers wanted to get him in trouble. Now, if your co-workers want to get you in trouble, is there lots of ammo for them? Now, if Daniel had been a slackard or had been cheating the king, what would those guys have said? King, we're trying to get rid of this boy. We just want you to know that Daniel is cheating you. He is stealing from you. He is not a hard worker. He is doing things he shouldn't do. But what did they accuse Daniel about? He prays to God. What a great testimony. Isn't that great? I mean, this boy had a work ethic. He had a work ethic. And they could not accuse him about anything on the job. Wow. Why? Because Daniel had no pressure from family or parents or anything else, but he was trying to please God. Now, finally, we've seen the areas of obedience, the attitude, the activity. Let me give you the acceptability of obedience. You're in Colossians, and look what happens. You say, well, Gary, man, if I do that, I won't get that raise or I won't get this. By the way, you probably will, because you'll be a great worker if you're trying to please the Lord. But look what happens in verse 24, the acceptability. Knowing that of the Lord, you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Look, when you set out to please Christ and you succeed, what's going to happen? Great reward. Great reward. Now, it may not be here. It may be here. But there's a great reward from God. There is a payday someday. Remember, folks, the Lord is the ultimate paymaster. Okay? We don't use that word much today. But God is the one that rewards you, and he will be fair, and he will be impartial. And by the way, his rewards are eternal. You may not get it here, but there are eternal rewards. And in 2 Corinthians 5, he says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he had done, whether it be good or bad. There's reward for serving Christ, no doubt about it. Now, very quickly, the law for the employers, okay? How many of your bosses? Oh, look at this. Oh, okay, let me cut loose. Rick, you're your own boss, aren't you? So you got wailed on last week, you got wailed on too. All right, here we go. Colossians chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, that which is right, and treat them the same way. Equal is treat them alike, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Now, flip back to Ephesians 6. Let's read that verse. Verse 9. Ephesians 6, 9. And ye masters, this is interesting, do the same things unto them. Now, that what does he mean? I mean, the employee's responsibility is to do what? Obey. So does that mean the master is supposed to obey his? Well, you're doing that, you got big trouble, okay? I think what he's referring to is that you are to also not serve with eye service. You're also trying to please the Lord. You're also treating them with honor and with respect. You know, I asked early on how many of you had your boss come to you and say, hey, great job. I tell you what, isn't that a wonderful thing? When your boss stops and says, hey, I just want you to know that I appreciate what you're doing. Now, most of the time when your boss comes to speak to you, what do you hear? Not that. I tell you, folks, there is power and encouragement. And if you're a boss today, Rick, encourage yourself, buddy. Tell yourself how good you are, okay? Help yourself. Build up your self-esteem. Bosses have the responsibility to be just and equal. A Christian boss, not to be having favoritism, treating people fairly in punishment and reward and opportunity, doing all of those things. And he says, looking back in Ephesians, he says not, or is that in Colossians? Hang on a second. Forbearing threatening or not threatening them. Boy, no, if you don't get your act together, Rem, you're out of here. Dover said that to you this week. He wasn't around this week. You're always thankful when he's in Murfreesboro, aren't you? You just turn your phone off and you're okay. So we've got an employer and an employee here at the same time. That works out. Christian bosses, my, what an influence they can have for Christ. They really can. Really can. And they too are to realize, and by the way, it's interesting, in chapter 1, or 4 in verse 1, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Who is the boss supposed to please? His employees? Good luck with that. He's supposed to please God too. He's supposed to be pleasing God too. Well, how are things at work? How are things at work? Are you obeying the laws? Most of you are employees. What kind of testimony do you have in the workplace? If I were to come to your workplace and say, hey, you know, Bill, would I want to tell them that you're in my Sunday school class and come to our church? Or would I say, Bill, no, I don't think I know that name. Doesn't ring a bell. We do have a Bill in here. You work at Sycamore Shoals? Is that right? We have a lot of nurses and medical people in here. That's good. If I ever have a heart attack, you guys just let me go on to heaven, okay? I tell you, folks, this is so practical because you're going to face it Tuesday, or if you don't have the day off, you're going to face it tomorrow. You may face it tonight if you have to go to work tonight. What kind of testimony do you have? The key to all of this is when you work, realize you're working for the Lord. You're working to please the Lord. Now, if that is your overriding motive and principle, you'll do well. You'll have a great testimony. You'll have a great impact for God. And people will say, you know what? I started coming to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church because I watched the way that guy worked and that, or that lady worked, and man, they had something I didn't have. It was different. I mean, when the boss treated them unfairly, they didn't gripe and complain to everybody. They just went on their way with a smile and a whistle, and they just went on. I mean, they just kept doing their work. Now, is that practical or what? How you doing with it? By the way, I work at a church. I work in probably the best atmosphere a person could work in. But I too have a boss. I too struggle with some of these issues. It applies to me too. And if I don't respond to pastor correctly, if I'm not serving the Lord, if I'm just serving the pastor, and he doesn't say, Gary, that was such a wonderful solo. I don't think he's ever said that. I wonder why. You know, if my whole thing is, man, if I don't get appreciation this week, I'm out of here. Whoa, wait a minute. Then I'm serving the wrong person. See, but if I'm serving Christ, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to do right. I'm going to respond in the right way. And I'm going to give honor to my boss. Now, I'm fortunate. My boss deserves a lot of honor, so it makes it easy. He's not crooked like some of your bosses are. So, you know, it does make it easy. But it still applies, doesn't it? Still applies. So, the question I want you to think about as you depart, what is your testimony like where you work? What is your, whether you're a boss or an employee, what is your testimony like? When they see you, do they say, that guy's a Christian? I mean, he's different. He's serving the Lord, even in the workplace. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. My, how practical the word of God is. This is right where we live. And I pray that you'd help us as believers to be serving Christ even as we are in the workplace this week. And may we have a shining testimony of the way a believer ought to work. And may people be drawn to you. May we adorn the gospel by the way we work, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.